Let's look to the Lord. Father God, we just come to you today and we just want to rejoice in you today, Lord, and we just want that your word to be a part of that rejoicing in you today. Father, I pray that you would open my mouth to speak the words that you would have me speak today, and I pray let it be planted in the hearts, God, that you've got to receive it. I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. The message today is the breath of life, the word of life. And we're going to start out in Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Man took his first breath on the earth that day. When a newborn baby is born, it takes its first breath on the earth that day. God is a miracle-working God. Just the same as he was that day in the Garden of Eden, he's that miracle-working God today in our lives. Think about it like this. God shared his breath with man. If you think deeper about that, think about two divers out in the ocean. And one diver has the oxygen tank, and the other one doesn't have one. So this one with the oxygen tank, which is God, is sharing his breath with us every day. Every breath we breathe is a blessing from God. He didn't have to let us breathe today. He didn't have to let us be here today. But we're living here by his grace, by his goodness, and by his plan for us. So think about that in the ocean. Now these two divers are going down, and God is sharing his breath with this other diver. And as long as we're on the earth, God is sharing his breath with us. And there will come a day when that breath won't be there anymore. And those who are alive in him are going to be just caught up with him in the air. I had a car wreck one time where the breath was knocked out of me. I couldn't breathe. And I was going, and that's all the breath I can get. My one thought was, if I don't get a breath, I'm going to die right here. This is going to be the day I die right now. The next instant, I was before the throne of God, just like that. I was there. I was already there. I was on my face before his throne, and I knew exactly where I was at. And my only thought was, if I live, I'm the Lord's. As quick as I had that thought, I had a breath, and I came right back in my body. And I was in my car, and I became aware that there was a nurse that had just finished her shift at the hospital, and she was banging on my door trying to get me to let her in. And I couldn't comprehend at first what was going on. And then I realized that she was trying to help me, but she couldn't get in to me. And so I finally managed to get the door open and let her in. It became an understanding for me that you're just one breath away. Just one breath away. It can happen in an instant. You don't know it's coming. It's just right there. God is our source in all things, even the very breath that we breathe today. And Jesus is also the Word of God. We find this in John 1:1 through verse 2 and again in verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. Revelations 19:13 says, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. It takes the breath of life to speak the Word of life. Let that sink in just a minute. It takes the breath of life to speak the word of life. Try it right now. I want you to hold your breath and speak the word of life. Can't do it. Takes the breath to speak the word. John 6:63 says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." So when we speak the Word of God with the breath of life, we are speaking life. God's Word released on earth is amazing and accomplishes what He sends it out to do. And we see this in Isaiah 55:11. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it." So God's word released on the earth goes out to prosper in the thing for which He sends it and accomplishes what He pleases with it. So we need to ask ourselves today, what kind of words am I speaking? Think about it. Don't think about what your husband's speaking, what your neighbor's speaking. Think about what I am speaking. What kind of words am I speaking? We could be speaking words that are working for us. We can be speaking words that work against us. And we can just be speaking idle words. Matthew 12:35-36 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they will give account in the day of judgment." So we can be speaking good words, we can be speaking evil words, and we can be speaking idle words. This word for idle is, it means inactive or unemployed or lazy or useless, or barren, or idle, or slow. Think about your car sitting out in the driveway or out in the church parking lot there. Let's say that you did your automatic starter and you started your car up. It's sitting out there, it's idling. It is not working for you, it's just idling. Matter of fact, it's using up your gas that you bought and put in it, right? So when you get out there in your car and you put it into gear and you start down the road in it to go to church or home or wherever you're going, your car is now working for you, right? So we want to speak words that work for us. We want to speak words that line up with the Word of God that work for us and not against us. We can speak words like, "I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the head and not the tail. I am blessed and not cursed. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror through Him who loves me. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of my testimony, and loving not my life to the death. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus." We can speak these kind of words and they work for us. We make them our own. We make them apply to us. We begin to have faith that this is who I am in Christ Jesus. Or we can be speaking words that don't work for us, that actually work against us. We can be speaking words like, "I'll never get ahead. I can't do that. Things are just never going to change." Y'all recognize some of these? "This situation is totally hopeless. I don't have what it takes. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not brave enough. I'm not enough. Nobody cares anyway." Or it could be something like, "If I get a dime ahead, something's going to happen. The refrigerator will tear up or the dryer will tear up, but I guarantee something will take it." You ever heard those words? Mm-hmm. And we can be speaking idle words. Do you ever hear somebody talk and never say nothing? Yeah. An hour later, you're still sitting there, and they're still going. We're all breathing out words. We can let them work for us. We can let them work against us. And listen what the Bible says about idle words. Proverbs 14:23 says, "In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads to poverty." Idle chatter leads to poverty. Who would have thought that? Ain't got time for nothing else. In the New Testament, Paul even warns Timothy about it. 1 Timothy 6:20 says, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Increase to more ungodliness. Should let us know that we don't need to spend our time in idle babblings. But we all have to learn. We all get attacked by the enemy. The enemy comes against us. Every child of God, he's going to come against you. If he ain't, he will. And so it's a fact of life that we have to learn how to fight back. I remember when my son was little, you know, my husband and I would just spank him if something happened and he would get out and get in a fight. Well, we had a little neighbor boy that just loved fight. And he would come home and he would be whipped again. And so my husband got him, and just when he came through the door, spun him around and sent him right back out the door and said, if you don't take up for yourself and you come back here again, I'm going to wear you out. We have to learn to fight back. We have to learn to fight against the enemy. And we have to, we don't start off knowing this. We don't start off as new Christians knowing just how to fight the devil right off the bat. This is something we have to learn. This is something we have to be discipled about. We have to learn to put it into practice, to train our mouths to speak. We have to get that good word down in our hearts. The Bible says that, you know, in Matthew scripture, we just read, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, out of the good things, you bring forth good words. Out of the evil things, you'll bring forth bad words. So that what's in your heart is going to come out your mouth. But we on purpose have to pull word that we need from the Bible. Let's say we need a healing. We can pull a bunch of healing scriptures out of here and teach ourselves what the Word of God says about healing. Let's say we have a problem with jealousy. We can find what the Word of God says, pull out a bunch of scriptures about jealousy, and find out how to overcome that. Right? But it takes work. It takes work to do that, right? And we don't want to do it because it takes work. But listen, we're supposed to grow and learn in Christ. If you had a little child and it wasn't growing, wouldn't you think there's something wrong with it? You'd be taking it to the doctor. My child's not growing. What's wrong? Well, you're a child of God. You need to be growing, right? I need to be growing. You need to be growing. We all need to grow in Christ as long as we live. So this is just one of those things we have to learn. And so the Revelations 1:16 gives us a perfect picture of Jesus with the sword coming out of his mouth. So we know that's how that we have to use our sword. Revelations 1:16 says, he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. This is the exact picture that we need to understand, that that word has to come out of our mouth. The sword of the Spirit has to come out of our mouth. Ephesians 6 tells us about the armor of God and to put on the armor of God. Well, we have to also learn how to use our sword. Now, if I'm a 5-year-old, you stick a sword in my hand, I don't really know what to do with it, do I? But as I grow up some, I ought to be able to learn to use it some. And as I get older and more proficient, I ought to be able to use it better, right? Well, that's the same way with us. We ought to be able to get to where we're using the sword of God better and better. And not on each other, for goodness sakes. We use our, just look who the enemy is. Your enemy is not the person that those words are coming out of their mouth. Your enemy is not the person that those actions you just despise. The enemy is the one behind the person that's acting that way. Use your sword on the enemy, not on other people. Revelations 2:16, Jesus is talking to the Pergamos church and he says, repent or else I will come quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. And so it's plain about how he's using his sword. It's coming right out of my mouth, right? I can remember when I was diagnosed with cancer and I first was start to learning faith confessions, how to get those list of scriptures and how to start applying them to something in my life. And I remember just going over those scriptures and reading them. And then I began to say, well, this is not, I couldn't just feel that urging of the Holy Spirit. There's more to it than this. And so I began to memorize some of them then and began to try to quote them back to myself. That's still not what God was talking to me about. So, you know, sometimes I'm a little slow, folks. It just takes me a while to catch on. And so I began to understand that God was talking to me about making those scriptures mine, making them apply to me. And so I had to start learning to make faith confessions with the word. Now, I'm not talking about naming it and claiming it. I'm not talking about making God do something. I'm talking about returning God's word to him because I believe what it says. And so I began to make these faith confessions, and I was going dub, 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 dub. I couldn't get them out of my mouth no matter how hard I seemed to try. I just couldn't do it. And I kept trying and kept trying and I kept trying. If I was so frustrated, I said, God, I feel like I'm just a little baby trying to learn how to walk. And all of a sudden, I could just see this picture of this little child. He fell down, he got up, he fell down, he got up, he fell down, he got up, but he learned how to walk. And I thought, God, I got it. I have to learn how to do this. It's not going to just fall into my lap, and it's not going to be easy, but I've got to learn how to do it. So I had to learn how to do this. And you will too. We all have to learn this. There's things in our life, in our Christian walk, that we just have to grow up in. You know, we have to learn how to begin to apply them. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Father, I'm just laying in these stripes of Jesus today, and I pull that flesh right up around me because I know that wherever the flesh of Jesus touches, I'm healed. So I thank you, Father, that I'm laying here in the midst of your blood, Lord Jesus, in the midst of these stripes where all this blood is flowing in these stripes and all this water from your body is in these stripes, and I am washed by the blood of the Lamb. And I am washed by the water of the word in these stripes, Father. And I know, Lord Jesus, that you took these stripes on your back specifically so I could be healed. You see what I'm talking about? Making them your own, making them apply to me. And so whatever it is, whether it's, you know, something that you're overcoming in your life, something that you've got a situation within your life you've got to deal with, the word of God has got something to say about it. If you'll pray and you'll seek him, he will show you that word that you need. And the other thing we have to quit doing is quit beating ourselves up. Quit beating ourselves up because we're not, think about it like a 5-year-old and he's got an 18-year-old brother. And this 5-year-old is so upset because he doesn't know what his 18-year-old brother knows. That's pretty ridiculous, isn't it? But that's what we do. We beat ourselves up because we don't know how to do some stuff that somebody else knows how to do. We just simply have to learn. We have to grow up in Christ and learn. I had a dream one time where I was at the edge of a forest, and there was this lady there, and she had a child bent over a rock, and she was just beating this child and just beating it and beating it and beating it. And I started running to this woman to pull her off of that child. And when I got there and I pulled her off, she was me. And I started bawling in this dream, and I said, God, I would never beat a child. You know that about me. I love children so much, I would never beat a child. And the little child looked up, and she was me. I was simply beating myself up. Matthew 4:1-10 tells us that when Jesus came and was confronted by the devil, how he dealt with being attacked, being tempted. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he was tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. If you fasted 40 days and night, wouldn't you be hungry? Now the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. I'm sure that those little rocks laying on the ground in front of him looked like little loaves of bread, little rolls maybe. These were temptations to him, folks. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him into exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Each time Jesus answered the tempter with the word, it is written. Fighting back against the devil with the word of God. It was the living word speaking the written word. The sword of the Spirit coming right out of his mouth. Even when the devil tries to use the word of God against Jesus, Jesus answers and says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. See, the devil was trying to get Jesus to prove he was the Son of God. But Jesus didn't have to prove to the devil who he was. He already knew who he was, right? So think about this for yourself now. When the devil comes at you, do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Do you know that I'm an overcomer? Do you know those things about yourself? You have to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, I guarantee the world will tell you who you are, or the devil will tell you who you are. So you've got to know without a doubt who I am in Christ Jesus. And you're never going to know that unless you tell yourself that. You've got to tell yourself that over and over and over and over, because you don't never know when the enemy's coming to attack. He attacked Jesus when he was at his weakest. When do you think he's going to attack us? Jesus released the word of God when he was confronted. This passage ends up in Matthew verse 11. It says, and then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. God sent his angels to minister to him after the enemy had departed. Luke, this same passage, this same account, the same account was also in Luke 4:13. And it ends up in Luke 14 like this. And now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until he had an opportune time. Well, the devil had just got defeated, and he had left. But that didn't mean the devil would never come back. So when you have this great battle against the devil and you win, it doesn't mean he's never coming back. You've just got to be ready for the next time around, right? You know how that you overcome something and you're doing pretty good with that situation. Let's say you've overcome jealousy, or you've overcome bitterness, or you've overcome unforgiveness. And guess what? The enemy comes and he just pushes that button to see if it'll still work. You know what I'm talking about? Just dangles it out there in front of you just a little bit to see if it still works on you. If not, then he'll try to dream up something new to come against you with, right? And when we realize that we're going to have to fight against the devil, the first thing we think of is that's too hard. It's too hard to get all them scriptures. It's too hard to make all them faith confessions. That's just too hard to do. It's not too hard. We just have to grow in Christ and learn. Deuteronomy 30, verses 11 through 14 says, for this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you might do it. If we get the word in our heart, if we get it in our mouth, we can do it. That's the secret about it. You have to get the word in your heart. You have to know what the word says about it, so that you've got a firm foundation to stand on when you're standing against the devil, and then you can do it because you know it's the truth. You know that's the fact. You know Jesus is the Word, and that's the Word, and I'm telling the devil what the Word is, and he can't stand against that. And so he has to back off. It's not too hard. We just have to grow a little bit more. You know, I remember when I got ready to go into the sixth grade, for some reason the sixth grade terrified me. And I just cried and cried and cried before I had to start school because it just terrified me that I would go. And I'd always been a really good student. And I got into the sixth grade and this so history and all this stuff that I was so afraid of, all of a sudden I thought, that was nothing. The enemy had built that up into my mind that it was, you know, this big thing that I couldn't handle. But you can handle it. You know, God is bringing you farther and farther into His Word, into operating in His Word, and you can handle it. You can do it. Now I want to switch to Ezekiel 37, 1 through 13. It's a long passage, but it's important for us to understand what we can glean from it. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath into you, and you shall live. But then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together bone to bone. And indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to the breath. Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Indeed, they say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. And I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. These people were being held captive in Babylon, and they had been there for years. And they'd lost all hope of ever getting to go home. They felt lifeless. They felt like they had no purpose. But Ezekiel was called to speak to them, to say to them, to say to the breath, to say to the body, to speak to ourselves, to speak to our situation. So we have to ask ourselves, where are we right now? Have we dried up? Have we lost hope? Are we depressed? Are we feeling lifeless and lethargic? Have we lost compassion that we used to have for other people? Are we in a place where we can't see the way forward? Have we lost our zeal for God? These are only the symptoms of what's going on in our hearts. These are not our outward conditions as much as it is what's in our heart. The answer is the same. Get the word growing in the garden of our hearts. Get our breath of life using our breath of life to speak the words of life, to get that life coming out of our mouth, speaking that life into our situations. Prophesy to yourself, to your situation. Speaking words like we talked about before, telling ourselves who we are in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror. I am healed. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I thank you, God, you've not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. I thank you that perfect love casts out all fear. And God, I know you love me with perfect love. Therefore, I cling to your perfect love because your perfect love will cast out fear. We have to tell ourselves who we are in Christ Jesus. But we also have to tell ourselves who our God is. We have to tell ourselves who we are, but also whose we are. We tell ourselves who our God is, our big, powerful God, speaking words that align with his words instead of against his word. Sometimes I'm walking up at Sportsplex and I'm right on top of a mountain. And it's not like being down in the valley where you see the hill here and a little bit of sky over top. You get up there and it's miles of sky. You can just look, just blue sky, you know, 360 parameter just all around, just on top of the mountain. You can see all these trees and out in the distance, birds flying all around me, insects just crawling on the road I'm walking on. And I'm thinking about this big God, Creator God, that created this whole planet and all of its ecosystems and how everything works together. The wisdom that he must have had to create everything and is still creating today. So I think about that and it makes me think differently, because the first thing I think about is I feel little, not small, but you know, I feel my God is so much bigger than I realized he was. My God is so much more powerful than I understood he was. My God is so much more real than I knew him to be. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord. And I find myself just starting to praise and just start to worship. And I'm going down the road as I'm walking and I'm singing to God and I'm praising him and I'm worshiping him and I'm bawling my eyes out. Why? Because he is worth it all. Everything. He's worth everything. And he's there no matter what your situation is, no matter what your condition is. He is always there ready to pick us up and set us back up on our feet just like we would our little child if he fell down. And we start making these confessions about who our God is. God, you are Creator God. God, you are the God of the whole universe. God, you are my protector. You are my shield and my covering. You are my helper and my friend. You are the God that moves mountains. And this mountain in front of me, God, I know you're going to take me through this. You know, I might have to climb over it. I might have to walk around it. You might dig me a tunnel through it, but you will get me to the other side. Instead of saying my situation is hopeless and I can't ever get there, God, and it's too hard, I tell myself I can get through there. I can get through that other side. I can go around the mountain. I can go over it. Whatever way God says, he's the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if he's got a way for me through this, and I'm going to walk in it. I'm not going to give up here, and I'm not going to be stuck in this ditch, and I'm not going to fall down right here. I'm going to get there, and I'm going to walk through this. And I'm going to get to that other side. And if I am an overcomer and I need to overcome jealousy, I will overcome it. And if I'm an overcomer and I need to overcome unforgiveness, I will overcome it. And so I'm not going to let these things be holding me back anymore. God's got a new place for me to walk, and I'm going to get to it. God has shown me that open door that he has for this church, and I'm going toward it. And we have to make up our minds we're going toward it. We're not going to stay here. We're not going to stay in this place. I'm not going to stay in this problem. I'm not going to stay in this addiction. I am going to walk out of this. And don't forget to sing. Sing of his glory. Sing of his majesty. Sing of his power and his goodness and his glory and his holiness. Nobody don't have to be around for you to sing. Just sing to God. He's the one who needs to hear it. You know, he's the one we need to lift up. We need to talk to him. Praise him. Worship him. Spend time with him. He is our awesome God. And as we speak the words of life with the breath of life, God is going to bring life into our situations. So we just got to open our mouth and learn to speak some good stuff instead of all that trash we've been speaking over ourselves. And all them idle words that just keep on going and going. Learn to focus on what God is telling us to do and to move forward into that due place that He is preparing for us. You know, we have said, you know, we're small in number now. We used to have this big praise and worship team, and we used to have all these ministries going on. We used to have a full house full of people. We ain't used to be folks. We're who we are now. We're the remnant, and we're going forward because God's got a plan and purpose for us. And we're not going to stop here. We're just on our way to get there. And as we do what God tells us to do, we're going to get there. But we've got to use our words to set our course to walk in. The Lord has a plan and purpose for each one of us to walk in the place that He has got for us individually. But He's also got a place for us to walk as a church. And so God is moving us forward, and we have to be ready to move too. Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and give you His peace.